Looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours? Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Hickey, we have terrible, and I mean terrible, awful news here before we hit up a news brief. You have no clue what I'm about to say because you just gave me a really weird look.
No, but I'm afraid this is probably great news for you, awful news for me.
Has nothing to do with you.
Oh, okay.
I think we'll actually share the same opinion here.
And it's terrible.
That the decision is terrible. From Brett McMurphy, sadly, Cock Commander was not chosen as the official name of South Carolina's live mascot. The General is the new official name of the bird in homage to the Revolutionary War General Thomas Sumter and not Shaq's Insurance Company. The General.
And that's about as bad as you could have done.
We have the General on the sideline. I didn't even think Cock Commander was the best one. I thought it was the second best. I personally would have went with Cock-a-doodle-dude. I thought that was good.
On the Saturday show I was hosting, we had a caller suggest this one. Darius Clucker.
Ooh, that's good.
Darius Rucker is a South Carolina alum, which I did not realize.
Yes.
That is, I mean, you saw a perfect. I thought, yeah, come on, the connection's right there.
It's better than the General.
I mean, anything's better than the General.
It's not better than Cock Commander or Cock-a-doodle-dude.
Cluck Norris, great one.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was fine. Once again, the bar is Cock-a-doodle-dude and Cock Commander.
Cock-a-doodle-dude is too long.
It's long.
Too long.
So then you go with Cock Commander.
I agree. That was my pick. Come on, everyone would have rallied around that. You're telling me Auburn's coming to town there's Cock Commander in the end zone kind of on his little motorcycle scooter zooming around?
They're scared of that Cock Commander.
Yeah. Everyone in the stadium is screaming.
That's vaunted Cock Commander on the sideline.
I would guarantee you Williams-Bryce Stadium would be a top five hostile environment if you had the rooster called Cock Commander.
Put it this way. No one is saying, oh, there's the General on the sideline. You name the mascot Cock Commander, a little bit different.
Ooh, I'm shaking my boots. It's the General. He's looking at us. Does not hit.
I hate to say it. I'm out on Shane Beamer and Spencer Rattler this year. I'm out. Done. Over. I know I just said in the last hour that I think Spencer Rattler's going to have a big year, and I like what Shane Beamer's doing with the Gamecocks of South Carolina. But now, Hickey, they go with the General, and I know it's neither of their decisions, but they go for the live mascot on the sideline, the General over Cock Commander or Cock-a-doodle-dude or whatever you just said about Darius, what was the?
Darius Clucker.
Yeah, I thought that was good, too. It's fine.
Nice connection. I'm sure Darius
Rucker would've... consult here?
That's what I want to know.
Dan Snyder on naming this team? After all those years, it was the Washington Commanders, which sucks. That's like a terrible name. Should have just kept to the Washington football team.
What loss to the General? Like, there had to be, like, two or three names in the pile. Everyone's deciding between. Like, the General's better. Like, Rory the Rooster or something like that? Like, what do we...
Rory the Rooster.
What lost after the General?
They had to consider Cock Commander. But is this just one of those times where Twitter doesn't necessarily reflect society?
I think that's, unfortunately, I hate to say it, that's the scenario.
Like, we were all making our juvenile jokes, our, crazy-minded jokes on Cock Commander on Twitter. Is a high and mighty executive or president or higher up in the better parts of our education system going to say, yeah, we're going to name our live mascot on the sideline a Cock Commander? Probably not.
If they start, let's say, with 20 names, and that was just like the initial pool, I would bet a lot of money Cock Commander is not in the 20 names. Yeah. I don't think it was anywhere
now,
close.
If we were voting, if we had the sororities and the fraternities voting, that would be a little bit different.
Twitter.
If you actually had the college students voting,
yes, it would have been
Cock
a runaway.
Commander would have won. And we very rarely see people agree on Twitter. I think at least 85% on Twitter would have agreed that Cock Commander would have been the right choice there.
In the newspaper that put it out there, they put 10 names. It was a runaway. So you got 10 options, all different people, everyone's in agreement. Big missed opportunity.
Now, is it someone at the university that was in charge of picking this for the official name of the bird?
Oh, that's a great question.
Or is it the new owner?
That's a great question.
Right, because wasn't the whole fight that the old... you were all over this. What was the fight with the old owner and the new owner?
It was about the comb on top of the rooster's head. The old owners wanted it cut off because they thought that was what a fighting gamecock is supposed to look like, and they wanted it to be intimidating, like a fighting bird. The new owners, because they realized the comb is supposed to like help cool down the bird, especially in the early September games when it's going to be hot as hell.
They were looking out for the bird.
Right. The health of the bird was more important than just having it look good. And the old owners were so upset, they did not allow the new name to be used, which was Big Sir Spur.
So did the old owner have rights over Big whatever
yes.
Spur?
Yes, they owned the rights to the name.
But they didn't own the bird anymore.
Correct.
That's kind of weird.
Correct.
So like, let's just say if this was me. Like, let's say if another radio company wanted to go own me. I could go get owned by another radio company, but my old owner could have rights. I guess that makes sense in business. Of the name and the brand, and then they could go, oh, we don't want that name and brand to transfer, even though we'll give you Zach, but you can't call him Zach Gelb. Basically, if
that
we were to
right.
dumb that down, that's what transpired here.
That is right, which is why we had a new search committee find a name. That's a good point. It probably was the new owners.
I actually wish the old owners got told by the new owners, bleep off, give me the name one more time.
Big Sir Spur.
Yeah, we're going to keep Big Sir Spur, and I would love to have seen that gone to court. Imagine all the jackassery that occurs in our legal system if that's what something we were wasting our time on. That would actually be a great cockfight.
Got to push back this murder case. We got a big court battle here with the rooster name. So we have to delay everything else. Push it back.
There was some fraud that was going on in the community. We're going to push that back about 3-4 weeks because we have to have a lawsuit here.
Priorities. The game's on Saturday. We got to get this figured out first.
I don't know. This is kind of weak, the general. I didn't think I was going to really care either way. But after all the hype and the hoopla that we had over the weekend and even go back to last week, the general is what we're going with? The general. That's just lame generic name. That's what
it is. You want to differentiate yourself.
And I feel that's like South Carolina, and it had to be, I would think, that the new owners probably consulted the school a little bit. But doesn't South Carolina under Shane Beamer, they're being really involved in social media. They're trying to be young. They're doing a great job handing out scholarships to that one player. And that was a fun little social media video. The walk-in to SEC media days was pretty cool. The general's just not cool. There were better names here. It doesn't seem like this is on brand with the direction and the way that the football team's going after a huge turnaround, 2 wins to 7 wins in Shane Beamer's first year.
Especially when you're honoring the general from someone in the Revolutionary War time.
Yeah.
Like, we're going back 300 years now to honor him by naming a rooster after him? Come on. Come on. Listen, great stuff I'm sure he did, but I think we can honor him other ways and leave a rooster name to a little bit more fun.
Yeah, it's pretty lame here. Cock Commander. If not Cock Commander, what would you have gone with? I thought Cock-a-doodle-dude.
I would have gone with Darius Clucker then.
If not Darius Clucker, did you have another
Cluck
one?
Norris.
Cluck Norris.
But these you would never forget. It would be a big talking point every game. Instead, now it's the general, and it's kind of like, all right, move over. To
it's side. Over with.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is. This was a little small blip in the conversation.
The good news is for Jadeveon Clowney, his jersey retirement's not overshadowed. If you had Cock Commander as the name of the rooster, I'm sorry, that number 7 retirement ceremony on Saturday is getting overshadowed by the debut of the brand new rooster name. That's for sure.
So that's this weekend, the Jadeveon Clowney jersey retirement.
So congrats to Jadeveon. His day was not preempted by the rooster's new name.
Well, they could have pushed it back.
The ceremony?
Yeah.
Probably because of bye
week,
I guess.
With the Browns, but I always push it back to next year.
Oh, I would agree.
I don't think if they named the animal Cock Commander that Jadeveon Clowney would even give a crap.
Well, I'm not saying him. I think more people would be excited about seeing the new rooster name than seeing number 7 go up in the rafters.
You think more people would be lining up to go to that football game to see Cock Commander,
yes. If
they named it Cock Commander instead of the general, then Jadeveon Clowney.
100%. You don't think so?
No.
Oh, so that's a social media. No, I think that's real.
That's
real.
That's
people
one
will
of
be
those,
lining up
that's
hours
one
before.
Of those times where social media and your understanding of social media does not reflect the true thoughts of society.
I bet you it would be the line. If it was a meet and greet, next to each other, Jadeveon Clowney, Cock Commander. I bet you the line for Cock Commander would be longer.
You think more people are taking selfies with the Cock Commander than Jadeveon Clowney?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Jadeveon would be like an afterthought. Oh, yeah, I guess I'll get Clowney, too.
But can't I just take a picture with any rooster and say, oh, this is Cock Commander or this is the General?
Well, if you're in South, you know, no way. They're going to, Columbia's
going to
know.
Would you really know the difference?
People in Columbia are going to know. If you're in the,
you would know the difference?
If you're a South Carolina fan, absolutely.
I don't think so.
You know what the bird looks like.
Do you really?
And we're going to take a, you're going to go to a random farm with a South Carolina jersey and say, hey, look, I met Cock Commander today. No one's believing that.
Why not?
No one's believing that.
Ugh, come on. Put it this way. I've just searched a photo of the bird. You would have no clue.
And I wouldn't. If I was a South Carolina fan, I would. And also, it depends on where you're taking the picture from. If you're going to a random farm, they're going to know. Oh, that's not it.
You never know. He's got to be somewhere.
Get in the stadium. Get by the stadium.
That
get on
Cock
campus.
Commander, that general, it's got to be somewhere other than a baseball stadium or a football stadium. It's got to have a home, too.
Oh, he does. I'm just, you know, if you're going to get a picture and you want some social media clout, doing so in a random field with a random rooster trying to pass it off.
This could be one of the dumbest conversations we ever had, by
probably.
The way.
And we've had a lot
Sir
of dumb ones.
Sir Big Spur to the general when everyone else wanted to hear Cock Commander.
This is why college football, Zach, is the best. We have espionage last week. We're discussing right now the merits of a rooster's name before opening weekend. You can't get this in any other sport. Well, this is the best.
I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here.
Oh, no.
I really don't like the live animals on the field at a college football game.
Oh, come on. You don't like Bevo? The Colorado running out with the buffalo leading the way?
That's actually the one that annoys me the most.
I love that. Oh, come on.
Well, was it Texas and Georgia a few years ago when the poor little bulldog almost just got destroyed?
Yes. That was the game Texas was quote-unquote back.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't like to see a nice-looking bulldog almost destroyed by some cow or cattle.
Well, I mean, I would blame more the handling of either the universities or the operations staff at the stadium for putting them too close together. I love the live animals. It's more intimidating.
I don't know.
Mike the Tiger at LSU. I know he's not in the stadium, but to have your own Mike the Tiger sort of, you know, right there roaming around on campus, that's badass. If Penn State,
I just go to a zoo if I want to see that stuff. I don't need to go to a college football game. If Penn State ran out with a Nittany Lion, what, James Franklin would still be overrated.
Sure, but at least it'd be cooler.
You would have more hype.
Yeah.
And then you would have just a bigger letdown.
At least the intro would be cool. I'll have that running out of the tunnel.
Like, Temple has Stella the Owl, and the owl flies around.
Auburn does that, too. War Eagle before the game.
Yeah. I don't need an owl flying around. And I always wonder, when I go to those games, especially when it's in the Lea Cora Center, which is an indoor building, like, sits 12,000 instead of Lincoln Financial Field that seats almost 70,000. If the owl's just in a bad mood one day, what happens? Now, the owl's always going right back to its perch. But I do get concerned on what happens there. Yeah, I feel like it's always going to end in one of those videos where it's not in America and you have the bear at the circus and then one day the bear fights back. The bear that's in the circus. That's what I always fear happens with animals on the sideline.
You got it. You got to train them. So far, these universities have done a great job. They handle them with care.
You're a sucker for these animals on the sideline?
Oh, I love them. It's part of the pageantry for college football.
I can't stand it.
Ugga on the sideline? Come on. And his little
You know all these
hut.
Mascots.
Oh, yeah.
Which one is that?
Ugga, Georgia.
Oh, that's what they call the bulldog?
Yes, UGA. It's not very original, for sure.
We could. Now I'm going to advocate for this. Can we change the name of some of these mascots?
That's fine. Like Bevo, just patrolling there in Texas games. It's cool. I promise you this. Week 2, Alabama, Texas, and everyone's watching that game. Now, it could be like 110 degrees. Hopefully, they put him in the shade. But it's going to be part of the story. There's Big Bevo. There's Nick Saban running right by Bevo.
Alabama now going to get an elephant, you're going to tell me next?
Looking. Could you imagine Nick Saban running out of the tunnel on top of the elephant?
Imagine the recruiting pitch, Nick Saban. You know, I've been around some good ducks. You may have heard of company Aflac that I endorse. Tell me why you're going to be a great elephant for our program.
I think it only helps boost the school's brand.
Yeah, I'm out on animals on the
sideline. Out.
Yeah, especially South Carolina ruined it. Now with the general, they could have had the Cock Commander. They go general. Now all animals should just go back into the wild, and they should not have be on the sidelines of college football games. It's a big take from me.
That is a big take. Wow. South Carolina's ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, I kind of been quiet. I'm not usually quiet, but I kind of been quiet the last few years about my dislike. I've said it here and there, but not as boisterous as I usually am. My dislike for having live animals on the sideline at college events. And now I'm really ready to come forward with passion about this and tell you how much I dislike it.
How about like Florida State when they run out with the horse before the game? No. You have the Seminole on the horse. They put the spear at the 50-yard line. You're out on that too?
Yeah, no.
Out? Oh, my. No fun allowed. That's what we learned. Zach Gallup hates fun in college football.
You want to dot the I like at Ohio State with the marching band?
Anyone could do that. Come
fun.
On. You just march.
Perfect. You bring people back. It's great. When
that's
you have
a badass
animals
intro.
Run out and things go wrong, actually, a very quiet part of me says,
you're rooting for it.
Says you got what you deserve. Okay? You got what you deserve.
There's a delay this week in Florida State LSU because yeah. The horse bucks free. The flaming
the horse
spear.
Is going to eat someone this weekend, and then that's gonna now we're going to end up on like freezing cold takes or something.
The flaming spear lights the artificial turf on fire, and the whole game is canceled.
And this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come back with a news brief.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Tom Brady explained his 11-day absence following the preseason game against the Colts the other night.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with, so we all have really unique challenges to our life, and, you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on, so... You know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can. And, you know, it's a continuous process.
Now, it was reported that this has nothing to do with anyone's health. If that's true, I don't know. I understand Brady, right? Everyone thinks his life is great and Giselle, too. You never know what problems people have. It's not fair to speculate. I think Brady just wanted to be away. And I think that this was one of the sacrifices he had to make was to be away for 10, 11 days. And this was reportedly agreed upon. And the organization knew about it, even though it was a sloppy process how it was announced. I think this is one of the things that Giselle said, you want to go play football this year, Ryan? Then you're going to have to go take 10, 11 days off. And it's one of those small sacrifices that you make in the summer. So then when the football season comes around, Tom Brady could be all locked in and ready to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the best I have for you on this one.
I mean, that clip makes sense because, look, clearly he's going through something. Otherwise, he wouldn't miss 11 days of training camp knowing Tom Brady. He's telling you there's something going on off the field. He sounds a little tired, like he's been dealing for it for a while. And
or
maybe taking on more time than he would have expected.
Maybe Brady knows this is not the right way to approach things. When you're a quarterback, when you're the face of the organization, when you're the face of the franchise, then you can do whatever he wants. He'll be ready to go for the start of the season. And maybe he just didn't want to miss these 10, 11 days, and then he had to go on this vacation with his family that he probably didn't even want to be on, even though it's nice to be able to spend time with your family. But he knows it's wrong when you're a part of a team, but it's one of the ways that he could get the blessing of his wife to keep on playing football.
I think it's exactly what it is. Yeah, I don't think he wanted to go. I don't think he was the one who's saying, oh, yeah, let me take a break.
So if that's the case, not a big-time problem. And now Brady just doesn't want to deal with this and face the music, speaking to the media, and tell us what's actually going on.
I think, yeah, to be expected. He's going through something. He's not, you know, loving it, and that's why he kind of sounds like dejected.
He's going through something.
Exhausted.
That makes it seem morbid and dark and awful.
Wait, did you hear the way he talks?
That's what it is, a little conflict with your wife. Give me a break.
Well, no, it's a little. I mean, you missed 11 days. You're not missing 11 days if you're, you know, if Lauren is mad at me because I watch a Colts preseason game. I'm not missing 11 days from the show.
Yeah, you may be missing the rest of your life with her. She may never talk to you again.
You might be wrong. You might be right. But I'm not missing 11 days from the show for that, you know?
You never know. If Lauren tells you, you got to go take a let. Well, actually, it kind of happened this summer. Lauren told you you're taking a vacation to Ireland. We didn't see you for 3 weeks. That's what happened, right?
Because I had the days to use. Our schedule is a little different than Tom's.
Yeah. And I think the Buccaneers rely a little bit more on Tom Brady than I rely on you. No offense. I rely on you a lot.
I don't know.
Tom Brady addresses the rumor of him trying to go to another team in previous off seasons. Oh, so finally the tampering stuff came up.
I read all these stories about all these different places I was supposed to go or could have gone. And I'm like, I only was going to go to, you know, one place, which was here. I think this whole organization knows
that.
All the conversations that we've had over a period of time, I chose the right place for me.
I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan there is. The league literally said you and the Dolphins had conversations, multiple conversations. But Tampa's the only place that you wanted to go to and the only place that you considered. That's bull crap, if I've ever heard bull crap. And I love Tom Brady. I've said before he could walk into a barbecue, punch my father in the face, and I would still say, sit down. Here's some hot dogs. Here's some hamburgers. Here's some steak. Here's some chicken. Whatever you want. You want that avocado ice cream, whatever that nonsense is that you eat? Go ahead. But, Tom, can we be honest here for a second? You talked to the Dolphins. You had extensive conversations with people involved in the Miami Dolphins organization about you going and playing in Miami. And it happened multiple times when you were a free agent or lined up to potentially become available. In 2019, when you're still playing for the Patriots, you're a free agent the next year. And I know he wasn't a free agent heading into this offseason, but you were trying to go to the Dolphins after this football season, were you not? So don't try to talk to us now like we're stupid, but that's what Brady could do. Because come week one, we'll all be sitting around and trying to see Tom Brady put up 45 points against the Dallas Cowboys. They're hoping that's going to happen. Pete Carroll announces that Geno Smith, geez, how the mighty have fallen, will start week one for the Seahawks.
Geno was solid in his outing, and Geno's going to start. You know that he's going to start the opener, and he's earned it. He's won the job. With the time and the time frames that got messed up for us for Drew. Drew just ran out of time in making his bid for it. And so, I mean, I'm clear about that. So I just want to let you know so everybody knows so you don't have to ask about it anymore.
Drew just ran out of time, a.k.a. We were big believers in him, but this guy sucks. That's the only way that I could interpret that answer, Ryan.
Ran out of time? Like, if Geno Smith. What, another week, he would have overtaken the job. The guy stunk. The Cowboys' fourth stringers are throwing like pick after pick.
Also, what's up with Pete Carroll's microphone there? It's all muffled.
Hot mic.
Is that the new approach to press conferences this year?
We're just going to hope that you can't hear what I'm going to say because I'm going to speak into the microphone like this and hope you don't have to actually hold me accountable because Grant Russell Wilson out of town and now we're going to sit DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett a year with Geno or maybe Drew Lock, and we're basically going to just hope we're so bad, be bad for Bryce or suck for Stroud. And then that's how we're going to hopefully adjust our quarterback competition moving forward into the future. That's what we're going to do.
Like, he literally sounded like he was making out with the microphone there, Pete Carroll.
Bill Belichick just gives you one answer, grumbles, and moves on. Pete Carroll makes love to the microphone and hopes you don't know what he's saying.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin is asked if he's made a decision about who will start at quarterback week one.
I might, but you guys not going to have it today. Again, like I told you guys the other week, man, we're not going to make knee-jerk reactions and statements following a performance. We'll go through our proper professional procedure. We'll evaluate the game. We'll meet with our front office people. We'll have discussions. We'll talk internally. We'll talk external possibilities. We'll go through our normal procedure this time of year, and we'll disclose it to you at our leisure, to be quite honest with you.
Not talking about wins and losses, just the way they conduct the media and interact with the media. Belichick's Mr. Mumbles. Pete Carroll tried to just make out with a microphone. Mike Tomlin, eloquent. You hear every word that he has to say, and he's authoritative when he speaks. Now, he may give you nothing in the answer and just use big words, but I'm locked in, and I'm like, all right, I can go root for Mike Tomlin. How about that, Hickey? That was clear and thorough.
That was 23 seconds of basically nothing, laying out exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk to these people, those people, watch the film.
It was 23 seconds of just womp, 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 except you would have thought he was a professor at Harvard with the way that he was speaking. Wow. Gotta love Mike Tomlin. Mitch Trubisky explains why he should be the week one starter.
I feel confident with where I'm at. I feel confident with where I'm at and in our overall developing as an offense. So I feel confident. I think I've just shown I could run this offense, I could lead this offense, and I have what it takes to help this team win games.
Who starts the game first? Jimmy G in San Francisco or Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh?
Kenny Pickett.
I think so, too. I think that's going to happen early because – in San Francisco, I think people know that Jimmy G's not going to win you a Super Bowl. And Trey Lance is looked at as the future. And now the future is finally going to become the present. And there will be a portion of the fan base, a minuscule amount. If things struggle and they're not understanding, they're going to say, put Jimmy G back in. Get this kid off the field. In Pittsburgh, they're going to start Mitch Trubisky. But 85 or 90% of the fan base, if not north of that number, the first mistake that Trubisky makes, they're going to want to go right to Kenny Pickett. And I don't blame them. And I don't they play the Jets early on the Steelers? I think they play the Jets like week four. Let me pull up the Steelers schedule. If that's the case, and I think that Kenny Pickett should start week one because it's been a close quarterback competition. Trubisky's been fine. But if you are a veteran in this league, you should blow out the rookie. And that didn't happen. So let him go play Cincinnati, New England, Cleveland. If he does not, if Kenny Pickett is not in the starter week one, he'll be the starter by October 2nd. Yeah, that's week four up against the JETS Jets. Bill Belichick. The only time he doesn't mumble, the only time he shows some energy, is when Chris Berman shows up at a press conference. Listen up.
Boomer.
Haven't been to one of these in a couple of years.
You're graced. You're graced. You're looking good.
Goal is good. To move forward, right?
Absolutely. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Nice to have you. Honored. First question.
Me?
Yeah. You can be shy.
Still fun.
Love it. Training camp.
And then Mike Reese. So, Bill, who's going to be calling the plays this year?
Oh, you know, it's not important. What's important is that Chris Berman is here. And I'm going to sit here and I'll talk things over with Matt and Joe. And we'll make a collective decision this year. But at the end of the day, I have all authoritative power. So just ask your questions to me, and I won't answer them, but I'm the judge, jury, and executioner around here, so everything's on me.
How about that energy from Belichick?
Is that, like, well-known in Patriot circles? Like, his affinity for Chris Berman? I've never seen that before. I've never seen Bill Belichick smile,
well, who doesn't like Chris Berman?
Clap for someone. It just seems very random.
And let's be real. Chris Berman's not in the media anymore. I know he does still on that ESPN Plus. He does the Sunday Night Countdown, but that's a legendary guy. Chris Berman. And Belichick probably got to know Chris Berman when Belichick wasn't Belichick and he let his guard down a little bit. I'm sure they had some fun nights together, Chris Berman and Bill Belichick. That'd be my guess. And if Belichick respects history.
If there was one guy that I would hear, like, think that reaction would come from, I don't think it'd be Chris Berman, that's for sure.
Why? Because of the Buffalo Bills stuff?
No, not in, no. Just in, like, I don't think he would like anyone in the media. Like, no, I could see him like a
Belichick
lacrosse coach.
Belichick likes people in the media.
Like
Belichick,
the Johns Hopkins lacrosse coach, he would do that
Belichick
for.
Used to call Joe Beningo on the overnights at WFAN. Okay?
I mean, he gave a standing ovation to Chris Berman.
Bow down.
That is, maybe, we are blessed.
Maybe Chris Berman's going to be calling the plays this year for the Patriots.
Maybe.
Imagine Berman on the sideline. Mac Jones is rumbling. He's rumbling. He's stumbling. And Zach Gelb's screaming.
Or Mac Jones is going back into the backfield as four more guys stack
him. And he finds Devontae Parker for a touchdown. All right, let's get Jerry Rice. He was asked this earlier today. Now we know Jimmy G's going to be staying, but Trey Lance is going to be QB1. This is on 95.7 The Game. Jerry Rice, the GOAT, on if the 49ers keeping Jimmy G as a backup is a bad thing.
No, it wouldn't be a bad thing, but I think, you know, with Trey is his time. He doesn't want to be looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, because this guy, he's going to have some adversity. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some ups and downs. And, you know, if you got a quarterback on as a backup like Jimmy G, maybe, you know, he feels like, well, that's really pressured. There's pressure there because, you know, Kyle Shanahan might decide to go back with Jimmy G.
Unless there's an injury this year, I don't care what the record is. With what you gave up for Trey Lance and the way that you've talked about Trey Lance, you got to start him each and every game this year. That's what I'll say on that. Scott Frost on why he decided to idiotically kick an onsider when he was up 28-17 in the third quarter in Ireland.
We had a really good chance of winning the game, and I felt like maybe we were the better team. And, you know, You can't really foresee them scoring 14 straight and us sputtering after we'd played well to start the second half on offense. So, again, those are excuses. If I had it over, I wouldn't make the call.
So, Hickey, he thought he was the better team. So, while he was up 28-17, let's cut the field in half when we don't recover the onside kick and we'll still be able to kick their ass because we're the better team. That guy should be fired on the spot after that answer.
That's terrible. That is awful.
And if I could go back and do it over again, I wouldn't do it. At least at that point, say, if I go back, I'd have the same call and lie at that point.
So you're trying to win the game, right? Like, if you recover that score touchdown, the game's probably over. So you're going to win the game. Now, oh, I think we're the better team. Not really sure. So let me just kick an onside kick. No way they score 14 straight points, which they did. Jeez.
Scott Frost, he talked about his coaching staff and how the offense needs to be more creative.
Again, I give their staff a lot of credit, too. There were some scheme things that they hit us on offense. I think we're going to have to learn as an offensive staff that you got to be a little creative in this league. So we have some things that we can work on. That we did a lot of good things, but it's got to be more of a complete game.
I don't care what changes were made, bro. You're in year five as a head coach at Nebraska. Aren't we past the learning stage? Like, Ryan, if you trained on this show and you were on this show for 5 years and then you go, oh, I'm still learning how to run the board here. We're a little bit past that stage when it comes to learning. You've been working at this thing for 4 or 5 years just at this program.
The offensive staff has to learn that we got to be a little more creative in this league.
What is this, JV9 football?
You know who he hired this offseason? Mark Whipple. Yeah. Last time I checked, Mark Whipple coached one of the best quarterbacks. And coached one of the best quarterbacks in college football last year, Kenny Pickett. Was the Pitt offense bland last year? Did I miss something where they weren't prolific in scoring?
We got to learn more, though.
We got to be more creative.
We got things to learn. That
These
is
coaches
a dead man walking.
That I hired. Boy, do they have a lot to learn about
dead
this league.
Dead man walking. Yeah, can I go back? I know I just had this take 35 minutes ago. He's not making it through the season. Because part of this is how you handle the press conferences. He threw up after blowing the 28-17 lead. Then his press conference is worse than the choke. Oh. I want to do this for the rest of the season. I want Scott Frost audio after every Nebraska game. I don't care if they're playing Cupcake U. I want the worst and best moments from his press conference in every news brief. Can you do that, or are you still learning 5 years in?
I try to be more creative. We got a lot to learn in this league.
That's a news brief. It is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gilb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Dave Lapham will do a little first and goal. Three teams remain. We'll knock it down to two today as we'll preview the defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals with their former offensive lineman, and does a great job now as their color analyst in Dave Lapham at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's take a stop in North Carolina. Matt is next up on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Zach. Listening to, Bill Belichick mumble his way in that press conference, I'm thinking, how could he not hire an offensive coordinator? Or, somebody that's done it. You got a young quarterback promising, rookie season. Going into the second year, you just not want to change the system. I'm not understanding the logic at all behind this move. I mean, I don't like the Patriots, so I hope it blows up in his face. But, I mean, it's just, for as proven guy, Belichick is, this just makes no sense. He's just, still trying to prove he's smarter than everyone. I just don't get it.
Usually I would disagree with you and say, okay, give Bill the benefit of the doubt and Bill we trust. But in this case, it makes no sense to me. Because even if they brought in a no-name offensive coordinator, that would be one thing if the coordinator had some experience on the offensive side of the ball. I don't want to hear that Joe Judge was a quarterback forever ago and that he coached wide receivers for 1 year. He made a name for himself, or if you even want to say that. He got a head coaching job because of his special teams coordinating duties, and more so because Bill Belichick recommended him to the Giants and Matt Rhule didn't take the Giants job. And like Matt Patricia, he was an offensive analyst, offensive assistant all the way back in the early 2000s. This guy actually made a name for himself as a defensive coordinator. So whatever way they explain this, and I think it's going to be Patricia, it's stupid. It's stupid. It makes no sense. I would have gone out there and brought in Bill O'Brien and bring him back, but that's not what they did. And Bill O'Brien now is once again going to be the offensive coordinator of the Alabama Crimson Tide. But to bring in an offensive coordinator, which I haven't named one yet, and they won't, but to have one of those guys call the plays and your options be Matt Patricia or Joe Judge, it's stupid. You know, Ryan, he's never called the plays before, but he's played in the league. He's been with the staff for the last few years. They should have just made Troy Brown the offensive coordinator, who's their current wide receivers and kickoff returners coach. That would have been a better option, these two bozos and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
How about Brian Hoyer? He knows the system well. Been around.
But he's your backup quarterback.
Put on a clipboard or put on a headset.
Do like what Cliff Kingsbury did with Kyler Murray in that preseason game?
Let him do. I mean, he's better than... Would you have Brian Hoyer? Would you rather have Brian Hoyer or Matt Patricia?
I'd rather have Brian Hoyer.
I would agree.
What about McCown? I know everyone's trying to get him a job with the Texans as the head coach, but go be the offensive coordinator.
His resume needs to start somewhere, right?
Nick Casario can't call up, say, hey, do us a favor, Bill. We want to make this guy head coach eventually. Make him your offensive coordinator. I'm in agreement with that. Let's go to Jay in Alaska. Jay, what's shaking?
Hey, what's up, man?
Doing great, Jay. What do you got for me?
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing fantastic.
I was dying when I heard you guys say Cluck Norris. That is just awesome.
Yeah, it was a good job by a caller on the Ryan Hickey show this weekend.
But I had a couple that I came up with my own.
Well, hold on. Were these approved? Were these approved by Hickey? Did you run these past Hickey? Is this improv? Oh,
yeah. No, he did not. I did not hear any of these names.
So, Hickey, I'm putting this on you because you put Jay on the air. So, Jay, it better be appropriate for the air. I got my finger on the dump button. Go ahead.
Don't even let him lie to you because he's like, ooh, that's good. What I told him.
Go ahead.
So, what about Biggie like Spurs?
Biggie Spurs? That's not bad.
Or Sir Spurs a lot.
Sir Spurs. Well, I don't think... Hickey, once again, what was the original name?
Big Sir Spur.
So you probably couldn't do something off Big Spur Sir.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel as if that you need to go in a totally different direction. And that's what they did with the general. But how they didn't go with the cock commander or cock-a-doodle dude. That's brutal. Brutal.
I don't mean to call Jay a liar. He was right. He did run those by me. I thought he was like...
Now you're lying
funny
to me.
No. I just, like, they were, like, funny, but I was like, kind of, like, not forgettable.
Oh, you didn't think I was going to find them funny?
No, I personally, like, I thought he was going to come up with some more outside of just, the one he named.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was like, oh, he didn't say before. That's
guy calls the hotline, says the two names, and then when he gets on the air, just goes a totally, completely different direction. That's what you thought was going to happen.
Yeah. We trust Jay, but you never know.
You trust Jay.
I trust Jay.
I just trust Jay to call in. I never know what the content's going to be.
I'm just going to talk about the Raiders and Derek Carr winning the Super Bowl. So you want to do bird names? Let's do bird names.
The next thing you know, Jay and Alaska is going to be advocating for this new name of the mascot to now become the official mascot of the Raiders. And you'll have him on the sideline.
Jay could be the live Raider on a pirate ship. I think that would be great.
That actually would be great. Jay in Alaska dressed up as a Raider. That'd be pretty badass.
You know, like the Vikings have the mascot on the motorcycle that leads the team out? Something to that equivalent, on a ship, taking the team out of the tunnel.
We'll call the Raiders. Mark Davis. We'll give a phone call to Josh McDaniels.
Dana White?
Dana White. We have an in with Dana. But Samter has an in with Mark Davis. He ran into him in Las Vegas. I think we need to make Jay Alaska the official mascot for the Raiders. Five questions, five answers, onside, offside, next. Zach Hilpshaw, CBS Sports Radio.